Amen.
Amen.
So if this should just go blank at some point, just be patient with me. Battery? Okay. Usually when something's not working, it's operator trouble, which means it's my fault. Alrighty. Well, Shelby, you want to pray for me? Amen. Amen. One word that I did get prophetically was when I was worshiping, the Lord said that attrition is nutrition. And I've reminded of the place in John when John the Baptist said that he had to decrease, that Christ might increase. And I just think it has a sort of a prevailing word in general. So it's a prophetic word. The Lord said that we think, always think that addition is nutrition, but there are times when attrition is nutrition. Now, I just think that's a really significant word for us, okay? Speaking of harvest, I believe that we're in a season, it's just the grace of God, where we're seeing more harvest, more fruitfulness, favor, and influence than we ever have. Just to give you another little story, well, just again, encourage you in light of the conference that we did, the School of the Prophets. We'll have a part two of that, advanced school. We're praying about the possibility of doing a healing thing. But the impact that that conference has had in different parishes and people around the nation, and then out even beyond that, because of the Ustream, but people who came went and God ministered their lives and they went back, but also people who saw the thing on Ustream. And Olivia even, and I don't know how she in the world figured out how to do Ustream, because I can't figure it out, but she even watched the conference recently. And then, of course, some of our brothers in Africa get to watch. And the combination of the trip to Africa, besides all the hundreds of little things that we all do, but the trip to Africa and this most recent this conference, I'm just stunned how faithful God is. Avery gave me a word, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, and it was after the first year, so it could have been a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever you may remember. And she said, you know, Bishop, even though and that's really true, and that's not a boast, except boasting in the Lord, because that God could take some little like this and touch people around the world. It's a testimony, it's fruit under your labor. It's because of your heart and your faithfulness and the price that you paid in the Spirit to go for it. And so I just want to encourage you. We had somebody come here on Friday from Texas. Somebody brought just to come to our noon service. And the Lord just rocked their world and read their mail in detail, just about some things that happened in their life, what God was doing, even the fact that they like to write poetry. And it was just amazing what God did. And to see God do those kind of things every day. And we do, Eucharist every day, and then to see what's coming forth from you, I just want to thank you. You know, we're talking today about stewarding the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and I just want to thank you that that's a serious thing for all of you. And I want to thank you for just the place for me to come to, where I can be a part of. We're just in this thing together. But I just want to encourage you that many of you don't get to hear the stories and get to understand what's going on, and just because of the position I'm in, I get connected and I get to hear all kinds of stuff. But I just want to encourage you in the Spirit that the impact that you're having affects many thousands of people. And just that we've seen an increase of even recently. And I think the whole word mighty expansion is kind of back into play. It's a word God gave us years ago. And so just be blessed and be encouraged. It blows me away what God's doing. And we have this national convocation coming up in Kansas City. And even the fact that our worship leader is the one who's going to be leading the worship of that whole conference, Luke. And most of our worship team are going to be there. So just be blessed and be encouraged. It blesses me and also blows me away. You know, because I know it's not something that we've earned. And you don't have to earn anything. You just have to position yourself. And in doing that over a period of time, there's a lot of repentance and repositioning and getting rid of stuff that you have to walk through. You know, but the Lord's just so faithful. He's just so faithful. So I just want to bless you and encourage you to, I just want to give you a hand. How awesome you are and how what an impact this little bitty parish is having on people around the nation, igniting fires of revival around the nation and igniting fires of revival around the world. And we'll see more and more of that, I believe. So just be encouraged. So we're going to talk about stewarding the fullness of the Holy Spirit today. It's one thing to get filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, then today we'll give you an opportunity to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit and you think you felt like you pretty much leaked out, then we're going to give you an opportunity for a fresh impartation of the Holy Spirit. As you know, we've talked about this before. Like Peter, we have a place in Scripture where Peter himself, it says, was filled with the Holy Spirit 5 different times. Just a fresh encounter. We're like a fresh impartation. But there's a reality that we're supposed to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit every day. And what I find is a lot of people can speak of those moments when they were either filled with the Spirit for the first time, baptized in the Spirit, or they had a fresh encounter with the Lord, a fresh impartation. I can speak of fresh impartations in my life just in the last year. Avery was with us. We were all together in Orlando when there was a thing that God did in my life and in the life of a number of us. And then there was another time in this last year, too. But what the Lord wants us to do is come to a place where we can fulfill the reality of Ephesians 5:18. Be you continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And so God fills us with the Holy Spirit so that we can carry that on a daily basis. So it's not just us remembering with fondness and nostalgia, spiritual nostalgia, those moments when I just got wrecked. Those are awesome, but they were meant to wreck you so you'll stay wrecked every day. And so that's what I'm talking about, being a steward of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Because when you get filled, God wants us to carry that well and to steward that. So this is our daily experience into the everyday things that make up our everyday life. You know, because think again about this. Because I heard somebody tell a story recently. I heard this message. It was a great message. And I wish I had preached the message. I'll probably preach part of it, but I'll give the person credit and to go along in the weeks ahead. But they were talking about the fact that they had like 4 children. This was a lady who had 4 children. And I think the oldest one was like 9, and then a younger one, or maybe 8, and a younger one was like 5 or whatever. And the oldest one was very industrious, very hard worker, a firstborn that just worked really hard, very, you know, very exacting, very industrious. And they were going to go to Disneyland. And so the mother told him if he would do certain things every day, just do some chores, she'd give him $1 a day and he could earn money for Disneyland. So over a period of time, he like earned $14 by doing, carrying out the trash, all this kind of stuff. But his younger brother was not very industrious. And he didn't want to do anything to earn any money. And so when I go to Disneyland, the older brother's got $14 he's proudly earned, but the younger one had nothing. But it was his birthday, and his grandmother had sent him a card. So as in the car driving off to go to Disneyland, he opens up his card, and it's $20. It's a long story, but of course the older one who had worked hard for 14 was crying and devastated because he had worked so hard and his creepy little brother had done nothing and he had more money than he had. And what the speaker said, it was really profound, is that most of our lives spiritually are $14 days. But we occasionally have $20 moments. That just spoke to me so profoundly. Even liturgically, the things that we do, it's not just meant, we're not trying to do anything other except obey the Lord, but these all are meant to be prophetic things. And the color red for Pentecost is about the fire of the Holy Spirit. But the color you'll see in this world that we are modeling in terms of prophetic, our worship, is the color most of the time is green. That is my most unfavorite color. It's my most unfavorite vestments. Because vestments are hot. Now, you add ugly, too hot, that just makes it almost unbearable. But usually you're wearing green, and you wear green during ordinary time. It's called ordinary time. And you have Easter, and you have Christmas, and you have Pentecost, you have Ascension, you have Transfiguration, but most of our lives is lived in ordinary time. Again, you may have $20 moments, but most of our life is lived in $14 days. But we have to know the fullness of the Holy Spirit, I think, more in the $14 days than in the $20 moments. Because usually in the $20 moments, you're not even making choices. God just comes and does amazing stuff. It's come almost out of your hands. Just the $14 days, we have to make choices again and again and again. I think a classic example of that is John chapter 13. In John chapter 13... Now, I know that there have been some of you over the years who wanted me to do this thing so I can give you notes. And I will give you notes, but the truth is that most of the time the notes will have nothing to do that fits with what I say. Because the Holy Spirit will do what He's doing right now, taking me to places that are not even on this note that I worked on so hard. Not only did I work on these so hard for hours just to get them on there, making the 1Bs go here and this everything fit. I tried doing it. I'm learning the speech recognition thing. But I got about halfway through and I did something to it and it quit working, so I decided to print the rest of it. And then I did what I thought somebody told me to do. I wanted to copy and paste it, which was a trip. So I made it all this blue color and I pushed the button and it just disappeared into somewhere. I walked into Luke and I said, Luke, what did I do, man? Can you make it come back? And he said, what's it, the undone? Did you push the undone button? I said, well, I pushed about 40 or 50 buttons since then. Is it too late? He said, yep, it's too late. So I had to go back and do it all over again. Now I'm not even looking at them. So what's that going to do? I don't know. Chapter 13 of John, John's Gospel. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that His hour had come, that He should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things in His hands. And that's fullness. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's everything the Holy Spirit has. Knowing the Father had given everything into His hands, that He had come forth from God, was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside His garments, He took a towel and girded Himself about, poured water in a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet. That's a $14 day. That's the stuff that we do every day. Just the things that we do, the dirty things of everyday life, of just serving and paying bills and ministering to people, taking care of the ones we're responsible for. It said Jesus, the Holy Spirit makes it really clear that Jesus did that knowing that the Father had given everything into His hands. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit in those moments, because those are the moments we live in most of the time. Because isn't that where we fail most of the time? Isn't it the little foxes that get us most of the time? The irritation, the impatience, the frustration, the selfishness? When we're tired, the anger, the control, the fear moments. Isn't that where life is lived? Those are green days. Those are $14 days. And yet, we're to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's there more than anywhere else that we're to live supernatural lives. Because it's cool to lay hands on people, to go to Africa or to minister to people, to see that lady get that extraordinary prophetic word given into her life, like last Friday, watch her life get changed. That's awesome. But then to go straight home and get irritated, impatient, and aggravated. I mean, it takes supernatural power to not do that. Because our flesh is strong. And so we have to lean on the power of the Holy Spirit to make Christ real in us, to not live that way, to not be critical, right? To not be judgmental. We talked about that last week. And so stewarding the fullness of the Holy Spirit is a daily thing that's more appropriate in the $14 days than it is the $20 days. As I said to you before, you know, back before when Libby was able to walk, Libby didn't want me running to the house every day and go, Jesus, and her fall out on the floor, she'd get really irritated with that. Like every time I touched her, she'd fall out on the floor. At some point, there were things she had to do. What she wanted me to do was carry out the garbage with a good attitude. That's the supernatural thing she wanted to see. Right? Isn't that where we live? So when I talk about stewarding the fullness of the Holy Spirit, I mean for it to be very, very practical. Be ye continually, King James, I love the ye thing. Be ye continually, I don't know what it means, but it's more powerful than you. Be ye continually filled with the Holy Spirit. It says about Jesus in John, Jesus as the Son of Man. If Jesus had done the things that he did as God, he wouldn't have needed to be filled with the Spirit. But he did them as man to show us how to live a Spirit-filled life. In John chapter 1, verse 33, "And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'He upon whom the Spirit descends and remains upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.'" And the Holy Spirit didn't just come on Jesus, but it remained on him. It remained on him. And that's what we're looking for. In Luke chapter 4, it says this about him, which is a little bit different, unique from Matthew chapter 4. Both of these chapters talk about Jesus going into the wilderness. But it says in verse 1 of chapter 4 of Luke, it says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit." And the language there is literally, Jesus continually full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't just come on him, but the Holy Spirit remained on him. All right? Now you understand that what Jesus is about to experience, it's a supernatural thing in terms of the devil coming to him and all the stuff that goes on, you know, angels feeding him, but it was also very blood and guts. He's fasted for 40 days. He's being tempted like we get tempted. Those are real. And yet, in that moment, he was continually filled with the Holy Spirit, it says. Alrighty? Of course, in Christ, the truth is this, that we've all already been filled with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, right? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "For you have been filled with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." If you're a Christian and you're in Christ, you've been crammed with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's the truth about you. That's real. But what we want to know is, how do we release that into our experience in the $14 days? See, because I can tell you this, it's extraordinary to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But it may not manifest itself in extraordinary things. Mm. Most of the time, it manifests itself in extraordinary acts of love. Mm. But if you're walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit in the ordinary moment, in the $14 day, and then the Holy Spirit brings somebody in your life that needs to be set free or delivered or healed or whatever, then you're there. He can just like release that there. Instead of you having to go back empty and try to dig something up, by the time that happens, they've probably gone away. The Holy Spirit taking them to somebody else who's already prepared. It's always better to be walking in the reality of the presence of Christ instead of waiting for a crisis and find yourself trying to get back there. Amen? Amen. Because if you're walking in it, then something can just bust out. The flood can just come out at any time. It says in a, let's see, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says in verse 21, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us," past tense, "and anointed us is God." You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ already. You've been anointed. You've got the anointing in you. But it's one thing to have the anointing in you and have the anointing being released through you on a continual basis. And the anointing then can steward whatever's going around. If it's the anointing needs to be released in you to carry out the garbage with a happy attitude, that'll happen. Or to cast out a demon or give a word of knowledge or to raise the dead or whatever. Right? Remember what I said to you last week? I think it was last week, but I'm in a place where, like, I'm shooting for the moon. Like, I want God to use me to raise the dead. And I figure if I'm there, He'll, all the other things on the way up there are covered, like carrying out the garbage, you know, getting a glass of water, cleaning the stuff up, folding something up, right? All right. So even though every one of you, get this, are fully equipped. You with me? You're fully equipped. I've told this stupid little story before, so bear with me. But it's not like when my grandsons were born, like when Oliver was born, they didn't go, look, here he is, but the toes don't come in until next week. And then the week after that, you're going to get some fingers, then some eyes. No, he was complete. He got all the parts he needed. When you became a Christian, you got all the parts necessary. Being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't give you something you don't have. It's releasing something in you so it can flow through you that you already got. It'll save you a lot of anxiety about that. But it's the Holy Spirit who does that work. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, there's a release of the stuff that's in you. But if you don't know how to steward that well, at some point it begins to shut down again. And I'm not going to talk to you about everything. We'll just see how we go with this. All the things involved with stewarding, but I think this is the most important thing that Scripture talks about. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, that there's a difference between possessing and partaking. And if you're a Christian, you are a possessor of everything that Christ is and everything that Christ has in the person of the Holy Spirit. But even though you are a possessor, you may not be experientially a partaker. In chapter 1 of 2 Peter, it says this in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything, has granted, past tense, everything pertaining to life and godliness. Through the true knowledge of Him, because you're born again, who called us by His own glory and excellence, for by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. If He's already granted you everything, you are a possessor of the divine nature. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, don't you know that Christ lives in you lest you be a hypocrite, a reprobate, a false thing? If you're a Christian, Jesus Christ lives in you. If Jesus Christ doesn't live in you, I don't care what kind of gyrations or sacraments you've been through, you're not a Christian. It takes the presence of Christ living in a person that makes them born again. Yeah. Makes you the body of Jesus. If you don't have a person living inside the body, it's not the body of that person. So if you're a Christian, it's because you have Jesus Christ living inside of you. You have the divine nature. But He says there comes a place where we partake of the divine nature. And the Holy Spirit helps us partake, experience. You can have a pie, but if you don't ever eat the pie, it doesn't do you much good. You got the whole pie. The Holy Spirit's the one who cuts the slices up and feeds you, releases it into your experience. Amen?
Amen.
Even though we've been filled and sealed by the Holy Spirit, we can still grieve Him. Look at this as a really neat scripture, I think. This is Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I'll figure out after this sermon whether I like using this or not. Because I keep wanting to look at it. But even if I don't, I'll start to do this down the road and do notes for those who like notes. Verse 30 of Ephesians chapter 4. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed, past tense, for the day of redemption. If you're a Christian, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You've received the Holy Spirit. You've got everything that Christ has in you because of the Holy Spirit, and you're sealed. You're secure. You're going to go to heaven. But even though you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. And to grieve the Holy Spirit is to restrict Him from releasing all that you have in Christ. Okay? So if you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, that's secure. But here's the thing. Security isn't enough. Yet I see so many Christians content with shuffling their way through eternity. Content with the fact that He loves them and they're sealed, but living their lives every day grieving the Holy Spirit and not walking in the fullness that God has for them. It's fun to get fresh impartation. It's fun to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's awesome and powerful. But things don't click into automatic pilot after that point. We have to steward that. We have to steward that, and we're going to walk in it every day. If we grieve the Holy Spirit through disobedience and sin, then the Holy Spirit is restricted in His release of the anointing and the blessing of God in our lives. Remember, it's the little foxes that we don't think that are a big deal that destroy the vineyard. That's what it says in Song of Solomon. Catch the little foxes again for us. He says, our relationship's at stake. All the things I want to do with you, our abiding, my abiding in you and your abiding in me is at stake here. Catch the little foxes, Chuck. You got to do it. There's grace, but I'm not going to take over. And you have no choice. You have no decisions to make. It says, catch the little foxes for us. They're destroying the vineyards while the vines are in blossom. And every time you and I get a fresh impartation of the Spirit, the vine begins to blossom a little bit. But if you, again, you don't know how to steward the fullness of the Spirit, it'll destroy the vineyard while the vines in blossom. And it's the little foxes that we tolerate that we don't think are a big deal, which is the very things that the enemy's using to destroy us again and again and again. I think that some people misunderstand grace. I think a lot of people misunderstand grace. I think that some people have come to believe that grace means we can live a partially obedient life and God will still fully release His blessing on us. Let me just say it again. I think that some people misunderstand grace. I think they've come to believe that grace means we can live a partially obedient life and God will still fully release His blessing on our lives. And that's a lie from the devil. We can't continue to tolerate the little foxes. Now, little foxes, you tolerate them long enough, those guys grow up. They become lions and tigers and bears. Come on. And then you're really in trouble. But I've met so many Christians, and it's an emerging thing today, especially among young people around the body of Christ. I hear Christian leaders talk about this a lot. Is that their understanding of grace is that, well, I'm just under grace, you know, and so God just covers me. I'm under grace. Well, here's the deal. Grace is for people who are going for it with all their heart, who are fully reaching for 100-fold obedience. Because if you haven't figured it out yet, what I'm telling you is how do you steward the fullness of the Holy Spirit? By an obedient life. And are there going to be times when we choose to not be obedient? Yes. But if you're reaching for 100-fold obedience, you're going to be repentant. If you're not, then you just think, well, it's okay, I don't understand, I didn't do anything wrong, I'm under grace, God loves me. Well, yeah, He loves you. If I have a kid in prison, I love him too, but life's not going to be very good for him. My love for him is not going to change. But I've been restricted by how much favor I can release in that person's life. And it's a foolishness from the devil. Grace is for those who are reaching and going for it. Grace is at its highest moment, at its purest form, when you're going for it and you blow it in the process of going for it and there's grace poured out in you to get up and go for it again. Does God love you if you don't care? Yeah. Does He accept you if you don't care? Yes. But don't be so foolish to think that God's going to use you very much at all. If you're using grace as an excuse to live a compromised life. God's been speaking to me so strong about this. Listen to this scripture. I've always been fascinated with this one. This is Isaiah chapter 48. Verse 17, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. Hear that? Teaches you to profit. He's first and foremost talking about favor from God. If only you had paid attention to my commandments, then your well-being, shalom, that's the word, peace, shalom, then your shalom would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Now the word shalom, we think it just means peace, but if you go to Israel, they say shalom when you're coming, they'll say shalom when you're going. Well, does it mean hello or goodbye? It means this. This is what the word literally means, shalom. It means, may God restore everything you need to live life to the full. To be complete in every way. That's shalom. That's a powerful word. And he says here that if only you had paid attention to my commandments, then your shalom, then your completeness, then your well-being would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. And so we compromise our lives because we think we can't afford to give that up because it brings gladness to our hearts in a moment. But His love is better than wine. Walking and abiding in Him, living a life of obedience, brings greater gladness of heart than anything you could ever imagine. The river of shalom is an amazing place to flow in. And some of us have known little jerks of that. But to walk in that for a season, it becomes so addictive that it just causes your heart to go, Lord, I like this river of shalom. I like this river of profit in you. I like this river of favor and blessing in you. I like this river, God. This is a way to flow in life. Instead of a jerk here and a jerk there, and always on your knees asking God to forgive you because of compromise and the tension and the stress. Lord, this river of shalom is awesome. If I live a life of obedience, there's a river of completeness and well-being and fullness. I'll know in my experience the restoration of all that's necessary for me and my life and where you planted me to walk in fullness. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's just a smidgen. How are we doing? There's a few more parts I think are important parts. So I want to save them for next week. Let's just chew on a little bit of time. So was me looking at this thing a distraction to all y'all? Okay. But I know this is sin, but I just can't tell you how proud I am of myself. I got this in here. Let me read this one little scripture and then we'll close. And somehow I don't think that's sin because the Lord has known how much I've wrestled in the dark places, in the closet, in the quiet place. The only time the quiet place stops being a quiet place when I'm trying to use a computer, then I'm spending most of my time in repentance because of it. They hate me. So I'm determined to tackle this thing. This is Acts chapter 5, verse 32. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who are continually obeying Him. To those who are continually obeying Him. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who continually obey Him. Remember what we looked at in the last couple of weeks? I don't remember exactly when, that place in Galatians. See, what we want, when we think of the Holy Spirit dancing in our lives, we think of it, and again, those $20 moments. But I need the Holy Spirit dancing on my life in the $14 days. Because that's where my testimony gets blown most of the time. You understand what I'm saying? That's when somebody comes up to you and they go, man, you're such a man of God. You're this. I said, you really ought to go talk to my family. Because they live in the $14 days. You're just seeing the $20 moments. Does he who then provides you continually the Spirit, work miracles among you, and works miracles among you by the law, or by the hearing with faith? Well, Romans 16 talks about the obedience of faith. You can't separate faith from obedience. Faith is an action verb. If you really obey, if you really believe, you'd act like you did. And the word again there, provide, is the Greek, comes in those three Greek words I told you about. It means for him to bring the Holy Spirit to dance on your life. I need the Holy Spirit to dance on my life. Every day. And the way you steward that is through obedience. I said one more a couple times ago. Let me read one more. Then I'll stop and we'll save the rest of it for next week. I think Bracken, I don't know if you got that far reading this morning, but Jesus said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, show favor on him. Not just love, acceptance, but favor on him. And we will come to him and make our dwelling place in him. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they wanted it, because they got zapped, because they had these little funny feelings, hair stands in the back of their head, worship? No, because of their obedience. Obedience, obedience. But Father, I pray that, Lord, we want the Holy Spirit to dance on our lives. We want to see you dance in our lives, Lord, as we pray for the sick, as we come to Eucharist, as we hear the Word, as we do all these things, Lord, those $20 moments. We need you to dance in our lives, Lord, in carrying out the garbage and caring for the little ones and laying our life down in selfless love, extravagant acts of simple love in the grocery store and at Walmart and in traffic jams and all those things, Lord. Holy Spirit, we want you to dance in our lives. Lord, you're not asking for much, just at all. You're not asking for much, Lord. You just want it all. But God, the exchange is extraordinary. The river of shalom, Lord. You offer a river of shalom. God, may we walk in the river of shalom. This is what Pentecost is about. It's releasing a person to walk in a river of shalom. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.